First half of this men's encourage a man thing, we've been looking back. And now we're going to put the little boy stuff behind, and we're going to look ahead. And we're going to look at vision. And what is manhood vision? And we want to cast a vision for manhood in the second half. First half, we looked at different things like wounds. We looked at the stuff inside, taking the manhole cover off, looking at what's underneath. And now we want to look ahead, and we want to look at what is a man? What is a biblical man? What is an authentic man? And we have some good speakers lined up, people that some of you know, probably most of you know, and I'm excited about what we have ahead. And you're in for a treat next week with Sam Fisher. I don't know if anyone seen Sam Fisher. He's good. Going to have fun with him. Turn in your books to page 47. Saddle up for the second half, it says. We're getting ready. How many of you guys have worked on your first part of your manhood plan? A couple guys. How many of you guys have looked at the questions? Bunch of you. How many of you have kind of thought through some of the questions? Maybe you haven't put it on words, but in words, but you thought through it a little bit, thinking through the answers. I want to just put a plug in for all of you guys who complete that thing and hand it in. And if you don't know where the manhood plan is, it's on page 92. And it's broken up into three parts. The first part is a look back, and that covers the sessions that we did already. And then there's this, the next part is a look at now, and then a look ahead. And Herb and Loyal and Dan and I have some good stuff planned for those of you who finished the plan and hand it in. We don't grade it. We don't necessarily comment on it. But we'd like if each one of you guys to fill out a plan, hand it in. And we've got some good stuff planned at the end once the sessions are through here. Sometime in March, I think we're looking at. Kind of a celebration kind of a thing. So I want to put a plug in for that. I'm just going to kind of run through where we've been. Some of you guys are new, and some of this is going to be... some of this is going to be old hat, but I want to start, where did we come from, and where are we heading? Second half of men's fraternity, we're going to be looking at vision, casting a vision for manhood. The beginning, we were looking at some presuppositions. Remember that? We were talking about manhood being in a state of confusion. And you don't have to look very far in our culture to see the effects of our confusion as men. And my family and I were on a trip the last couple weeks. We were up in Dryden, Ontario. Actually, hilarious thing, I was pulled into a gas station in International Falls, Minnesota, and I was just leaving, and guess who drives in? Phil Hershberger and his family, of all things, 1,500 miles away, and here comes Phil. We hit the same gas station at the same time. That was funny. But anyway, we borrowed Tim Nolte's DVD player, and so we had some DVDs for the kids, and and for the dad. And one of the DVDs we had along was Andy Griffith. And it's kind of a comedy thing. I think it was made in the 60s or something. It was interesting, even though Andy Griffith is a goof, or Barney is a goof actually, but Andy, the expectation of manhood, even in the 60s, is so different than it is today. And Andy's relationship with his son and how manhood is depicted on that comedy is amazing. I mean, except for Barney, of course, but it just, actually as a family, we were talking about it, the difference in how Barney, how Andy relates to his son. So there's confusion in our culture today. Confused men create major problems. Earlier we were looking at the statistics of crime committed by men. And our prisons are full. I have a friend who, actually I work with at Life Ministries, Glenn Hoover. He was in a ladies' prison doing a seminar down in South Carolina. And one of the things that he said to that he was hearing from the women, it's a women's prison, and him and his wife were in there, and one of the things he said was a lot of the women are in there because they were betrayed by men. Not all of them. Some of them are in there because of, but often the woman was used as a cover and got pulled into crime because of the influence of men in their lives. Confused men settle for less. Back to number two there. Confused men create major problems. We don't have to just look around away from us to know that confused men have problems. We don't have to look very far beyond ourselves to know some of the problems that men have. Confused men settle for less. As men, sometimes, and we were talking about this, we can dumb down our own strength, and we don't aim very high. Settle for less. There's no lofty vision of manhood that's compelling to men today. And I think that's what the second half is about, and what we want to unpack is to cast a vision that can call us up as men to live authentically. And then the Bible has insights and answers to all of the above. And we were talking about the heart wound at the end of the last session, or last in December. The Bible has the answers for the confusion, for the problems, and for vision. How blessed is the man who delights in the word of God. He will be like a tree planted, firmly planted, whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does prospers. It's in Psalms 1. And we also looked at some promises. Remember those? At the end of this, we hope you're going to have a clear vision of manhood, and one that's going to be exciting and call you to something. And you're also going to make some personal discoveries about yourself. And when I was going through this, one of the things that I started thinking about is the impact of mom, and also the impact of trying to figure out how to explain this, but as a man, some of the shame that I carry as a man and the impact that it has on relationships with other people. So keep adding to that. You're going to make new friends. Part of this time has been in a small group, and some groups you're connecting, and some it's a little bit hard. But taking the things that you're hearing and unpacking it in a small group draws closer, being honest and open. We made a promise that you're going to learn a new manhood language, and we talked about unpacking, and we talked about wounds, and as we go through, we're going to continue that. And you're going to have a personalized plan for achieving authentic manhood. And invest in that, guys. Invest in it. It's easy for us men not to reflect very deeply. We get into our lives, we get into doing things, working, family, and we don't reflect very deeply personally on ourselves. And we also looked at unpacking wounds. And the first one that we looked at was the absent father wound. Remember that one? And basically, that the absent father wound is an emotional, spiritual, social deficit ordinarily met in a healthy relationship with dad that must be overcome by other men. So there's something missing in the relationship with dad. And I'm just going to look at the page back here and look at a few of the points. Some of the results of an absent father wound were anger and pain, extreme behavior, inner sense of lostness or incompleteness, and homosexuality are some of the results of the absent father wound. And I think there's a comment I made that as boys we look at our dads to see what a man is. And the relationship with our fathers impacts and shapes us in good ways and in bad ways. So we were looking at that. We looked at the overly bonded with mother wound. That's what Phil was mentioning. And the overly bonded with mother wound, as you remember, was the unhealthy emotional connection with mom that either causes a son to be threatened by the influence of women or later in life to over-identify and become submissive to the influence of women. And there's some characteristics. Overly bonded with mother wound it's more or less a subtle thing. It's not one of inattention, but maybe overattention. Remember that one? It's a wound that looks like love, but feels like control. And then there's the all alone wound. I think most of us guys can connect with the all alone wound. It's a social, emotional, spiritual loss caused by the lack of healthy male comradeship that results in loneliness and discouragement, foolish behaviors, blind spots, and short-sighted masculinity. And then we were looking at the heart wound. We're fallen, defective creatures at odds by nature with our Creator and each other, born, separated, and enslaved to choosing wrong. That's the heart wound, and we were ending up with that last time. And one of the things that strikes me about the heart wound is a lot of the problems in my life, many of them are in here, not out there. And we need Jesus to deal with our brokenness as men. each one of us, and I had a backpack up here, and each one of us carries around a backpack. Some of them are smaller than others, bigger than others. But each one of us, and how you unpack your backpack personally, will affect the choices you make in your life. Let's turn to the diagram there. Let's see here. Page 49. Basically, this diagram is a breakdown of what we've been through. And did you know, as men, you can harden in your woundedness? A couple years ago, more than a couple, I worked as an auto mechanic, and we had this parts delivery guy. He was retired, 70s probably, and he would deliver parts. And so when we'd call up the parts store for parts, he'd bring it by. And one thing about this guy, he's an older man, and sometimes he would come in, we'd have an awesome time, goofing off, ribbing him, he'd rib us, having fun. And the next day he'd come in, march in, drop his parts and leave, and not say a word. And we didn't know who we were going to meet. And sometimes he'd come in and he'd string us a line. He'd tell us a big, long story, but it wasn't true. And we'd find out later that it wasn't true. So there was stuff he would come in and say we didn't even know if it. So after a while, we didn't even believe most of the stuff he'd say to us. And I was talking to another guy about this delivery guy, and this man knew him. And he said, you know, the older a man gets, the more he becomes what he is, what he's been. The older you are, the older you get, the more you become what you are. And basically he was saying, this guy didn't get here just randomly. He was hardening. I don't know his story. I didn't know his story then. But he was a hardening in his woundedness. And I just run through this diagram on page 49. There's numbers of stages, and it's basically a summary of what we've been through. And going to run through that. Every man begins life without God. His nature is selfish and self-centered. And you know, that doesn't always show up in bad ways or in ways that look bad. Sometimes we can be selfish and self-centered, and it looks pretty good. So every man begins life there. As a son, every man suffers hurts, small or large, growing up. And some of us have experienced more hurt than others. But as men growing up in a broken world where death and decay happens, where we're wronged by other people, you can't be untouched by brokenness and hurt in this world. None of us can, no matter what family you came from, no matter where you grew up. And there's the hurts, small or large, have a shaping effect on our lives. Excuse me. As a young man, he constructs his manhood from the selfish and wounded perspectives. Often he uses his woundedness as energy to fuel and excuse his own excessive or evil behaviors. That's stage three. An example from my own life. One of the things I started believing as a young man was bad things happened to me because I wasn't smart enough. And if I could increase my intelligence, be a little smarter, maybe I could keep bad things from happening to me. So, and it's out of the selfish, wounded perspective that I intended to increase my smarts. And you know what? I found out that no matter how smart I tried to be, no matter how safe I tried to live, bad things kept happening. Random bad things, sitting in a tree stand, hunting deer and having a guy get mixed up in the woods and come and find me thinking that I'm in his tree stand and I really wasn't. John's laughing because he knows where I was. And experience of being cursed at and sworn at and somehow thinking that, you know, if I would have been smart enough, I would have done this or that. Random things that happen to us as men, we can't get away from the brokenness of things in our world. And sometimes we use the selfish, wounded perspectives, we use it as energy to fuel and excuse our own evil behaviors. Stage four, as a man, he's driven by those forces he doesn't understand, refuses to examine. Circumstances and others are blamed for his problems and failures. This approach to life creates pain for himself and for those around him. So some of us guys, we're workaholics, and we don't know why. We don't know what drives us. Some of us guys get caught up in doing maybe things that aren't necessarily bad. Some of us guys can get pretty angry about things, and we don't think very deeply about what fuels that. Some of us dominate at times. Some of us are irresponsible, or we take too much responsibility. Wealthy men often seek to buy their way out of their pain. Other men seek to escape their pain with drugs, alcohol, porn, TV, affairs, sports, etc. Both continue to refuse to admit the truth about themselves. And then stage six. In time, selfish and wounded manhood hardens. As a man grows old, life becomes small me. Empty, mundane, bitter, or reckless. There's no vision beyond themselves. There's a guy by the name of Henry David Thoreau wrote this. The mass of men live lives of quiet desperation. As men, sometimes that's where we are. And there's another way on the page 50. We can either be hardened in our woundedness, or we can be delivered from our woundedness. And again, this is a summary of the last. Delivered from our woundedness. Again, the stages are similar. All of us as men, whether we grew up in a Christian home or not, we have selfish ways, foolish ways of making life work without God. Just like I was trying to make myself smart or make me better. As a son, we suffer hurt. As a young man, we construct our manhood around our selfishness and woundedness. As a man driven by these forces, And as a man seeks unhealthy ways to escape the pain, and we can relate to that, sometimes we eat, the holidays time, being together with family. As a man, we harden in this lifestyle. There's another way. We can unpack the truth about ourselves. We can recognize and admit our selfish, godless nature and accept responsibility for his life problems, stop blaming others, and grieve over losses in life and poor choices. It's hard to do this. Did you know that? It's hard to take the time to unpack. It's hard to be honest with ourselves and recognize and accept stuff. It's hard to stop blaming, just like Adam, who blamed. And it's hard to grieve. I don't like being sad, especially over things that I may have missed. A man delivered in his woundedness turns to faith in Jesus for help. You guys remember the story of the prodigal son and how this young man is growing up in his family with his brother. It's a story that Jesus told. And he came to his dad one day and said, "Hey, I want my inheritance." And his dad said, "Okay, here you go." He took off and went and spent his life foolishly. And he came. There was a crisis point in his life, and he came to his senses, and he came back to his father. And in a lot of ways, I think that's the story of manhood, where life, we put together life. This man thought life could be put together with an inheritance and all the money he wanted. I'd just like to read that. "Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. In our foolishness, we have a plan to make life work. And this guy's plan was to squander his life. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I'll get up and go to my father, and he'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' He got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead, he's come to life again. He was lost and has been found,' and they began to celebrate." There was something that happened in this man, the difference between being, he could have stayed in the pig slough and hardened himself. But he came to his father and he was delivered from his woundedness. Story of our manhood. Born again, John 3, Nicodemus. He had got through all the levels of born again. He thought he had it made, and Jesus said, "You have one more. You need a connection, a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And tell you the truth, Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. A delivered man pursues a new life with Christ. Hope, health, and happiness. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We don't always have health and hope as believers. You know, life happens to us, but the potential there is much greater. And the observations in summary, rather than numbing out to our wounds as men or being enraged by them, the new man in Christ unpacks. This isn't in your book, but if you want to write it down, you can. He embraces the hurts, feels them, deals with them in appropriate ways. And in that first part of your manhood plan, it's asking you to write down, what do I need to do to deal with my wounds in appropriate ways? To think through that. Rather than blaming others for his life, the new man in Christ accepts personal responsibility for it. And rather than ignoring the masculinity of Jesus, the new man in Christ becomes eager to pursue it, to pursue his masculinity as a man. And as he does, a new manhood emerges. So, which kind of man are you? Are you the hardening man? Are you the delivered man? Which man do you want to be?